Welcome to the Reiki Show, hosted by Bronwyn and Franz Diener of the International House of Reiki. Bronwyn and Franz teach Reiki around the globe and are the authors of the Reiki Sourcebook, the Japanese Art of Reiki, the Reiki Techniques card deck, and the soon-to-be-released A to Z of Reiki. The music you are listening to, Reiki Khan, is available at the International House of Reiki website, www.reiki.net.au. Hi, my name's Bronwyn.
And my name is Franz.
And today we have with us someone who's very special. Her name is Jan Robinson, and Jan is one of the directors of the Healing Hands Network, and it is dedicated to the relief of suffering caused by war and disaster. And it was started in late 1996 and has been taking different therapies into these war-ravaged areas, including Reiki, in a number of different places around the world. Welcome, Jan.
Hello.
Could you just tell us a little bit about how it all started?
Okay. Our lovely founder, a lovely woman who went out to Sarajevo in Bosnia in the middle 90s, when the war was still on, realized that there was a huge need for healing and talked to many, many women who were desperate. She came back to England, and in a garden in about 1996 in the autumn, she sat down with about five or six people and said, we've got to do something about it. How can we help? So they called an official meeting in about December 1996, and a whole lot of other therapists came along and discussed that, right, we might as well start. Let's start in February. And we decided, she had made one contact in Sarajevo with a woman who had moved out just as the war had finished, because it was legally finished. I think it was November, December 1996. And she got a flat, and it had sandbags all around it, and we had no electricity, no water sometimes, and the heating wasn't brilliant, so I wore my ski outfit. Anyway, we went out all four of us went out in about February and 1997, and we had a few contacts, but basically we walked into places and said, here we are, we've got a pair of hands. And the founder and myself, we both practiced Reiki. She did also aromatherapy. We had a man who did Bowen technique, another man who was a masseuse. And we walked into the Kosovo hospital, which was full of paraplegic and tetraplegic men who had been wounded in the war. And we, at first, just used our hands and helped the doctors and nurses. They wouldn't let us touch the patients because they thought, well, who are these people coming out? Because some of these therapies they'd never heard of. But after a week of working, they said, yes, we realize that you actually can help. And they let us free on the wards. And we walked around with a pair of hands and worked. And that's how we started. And we went to people's homes. It was word of mouth when we first started. We were allowed into the orphanage, but they decided after a couple of years that it's a bit hard for people to come in just for a short time and then leave. It's disrupting for the children. So that's something we don't do anymore. And we now work with four associations in Sarajevo, all who have people who have suffered from different types of pain and terrible things happening to them. And they send their people to our clinic, which we have a rented house in Sarajevo now. And we have computer information about them, and we give them therapies between April and October every year. And we've been doing that now for 10 years.
Wow. And do you yourself go every year?
I have not been every year. I've been 7 out of the 10 years. And each time I come back, I'm very tired and say, that's the last time. But then the next year comes up. It's very easy sometimes for people who work in places where there is so much need to get rescue syndrome. You have to be very, very careful. People saying, I'm not staying here for 2 weeks. I've got to stay here for months and months. And we, as a charity, feel very strongly that people, if they don't belong to a charity, can do what they like. But if they belong to our charity, we don't encourage people to spend too much, because it is very, very powerful and strong work, mm-hmm. helping people who've been so terribly wounded mentally and physically. So we encourage people to go just 2 weeks of the year. Sometimes people who are very professional go twice a year, but generally speaking, it's once a year for 2 weeks. Mm. And that's what we feel people can do their job honourably and properly.
Yeah, so and who can join this organisation? Who is going?
Anybody who feels that they would like to contribute. So we have people who send in their information about themselves professionally. We have weekends and days when we check people and get people to meet other therapists, and they apply. And the thing they have to do, which is unique in our charity, is that every professional therapist has to raise approximately, it varies gradually over the year, £750, either through sponsorship or themselves, to pay for their flight, their accommodation, and their food. So that Healing Hands is not just in the hands of the five people who help its running. It belongs to every single therapist who is Healing Hands Network when they're out there, mm-hmm. because they raise their money. Yeah. And people do that, which I think is wonderful.
Yeah.
Because they miss out on their earnings for that 2 weeks, as well as, you know, raising £750 to work out there for free and work every day, 9 to 5, and sometimes even at the weekends for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's a true commitment.
It is a true commitment. It's a tough time. You have to be very strong emotionally. We encourage everybody to think very carefully going out there. We would encourage any therapist who's gone through some personal pain themselves not to go out. You have to be giving yourself a lot of Reiki and a lot of strength so that you can do your job without being too emotionally affected by it.
You offer as well a training workshop for people before they go?
It's a training workshop in so much as we discuss exactly what we expect of people. All the people who come to us are trained professionally in their therapy, whether it is Reiki, which is used a great, great deal, or other therapies. They tend to be very gentle therapies, massage, room therapy, and others like that. But they're all qualified people. What we do in the training is to tell them what is expected out of them, what they can expect, how that they need perhaps to remember that as therapists work singly as people, they need also to bear in mind that they're working with three other therapists who may not be doing the same therapy, to work well with them, complementary, and the tendency is that sometimes people think that their therapy is the only therapy, and we are all part of healing, and to show great respect and work well. And so that's what the workshop is, to see how people get on with people, and possibly to meet the person that they are going out with for their 2 weeks.
Can the clients that you actually see when you're in these places, can
yes.
they ask for a specific therapy?
Or yes.
How does that work?
Well, with four people out there, there is usually some form of spiritual healing and Reiki. It's very rare there isn't Reiki there. And if people have been coming for some time, often they are asking for Reiki. If there isn't, there are some people, some of the men in Sarajevo who've been in concentration camp, they can't handle something as esoteric as this, so they ask for massage. But people who've been for some time, they often have a different therapist and then start asking for a therapy. We keep tremendous details about people, and we always ask people before they start a treatment, how was the last treatment you had? And how do you feel about it? How do you feel today? And we use the numbers 1 to 6, like 1 brilliant and 6 feeling ghastly. And we ask them to how they feel and how they felt about the last therapy. And we find that people will choose towards similar things to Reiki and spiritual healing, and others prefer physical. But it seems the longer we're out there, the gentler these more hands-on, gentle therapies seem to be the ones that are very loving and help that body to heal and shift some of the terrible pain that's locked in the body in a cellular way. And so there is a choice by the person who comes, and we always try to give them what they want.
What are some of your personal experiences with people who have been through war?
I remember once when I went out there and I suddenly felt very vulnerable. I thought, what the flipping heck am I doing out here? How can I possibly? And I kept using the word I. And I felt very vulnerable, and I knew that it goes through everybody's head. And so there was a lovely Muslim lady who had some very strong physiotherapy, and her back was hurting her enormously. And it was a time when we had very little privacy, and it wasn't in our clinic. It was in a physiotherapy area where we were given a little area in the corner. And women were just sitting there and watching a masseuse and me giving Reiki and saying, I want a bit of that, I want a bit of that. And this lady whose back was hurting just pointed to me and said, I want you wanted a bit of Reiki. And she lay on her tummy, and I put my hands on her back, and I remember feeling, oh my goodness me, what's going on in here? Feeling very vulnerable. And I had to say to myself, this is Reiki, it's not me, let me just do Reiki, hands on, just trust and allow. But I did feel very vulnerable, and then suddenly I disappeared into a very lovely space, and it was as if the time that we had together did just flew past. And she got up very slowly, and her face was absolutely pink, and she gripped the hands of the translator and then me and said, tell this woman that her God is my God. So what was so wonderful was that she recognized the energy coming through me was from the highest source possible, which you can call universal energy. She could call it God. And it gave me such an encouragement that what I was doing was just being a channel. I was just using my hands. And that was very important for me when there were times when you have a very gentle treatment and you feel, I hope that's helped, you have to trust and allow that hour of Reiki will go into that person to heal mind, body, soul, or emotion, and you trust. And that was a very important time. One other time, I had a lovely Bosnian builder. He had a very, very tight white face, and I gave him Reiki, and I was due to go out with the chairman who runs the Association for People Who've Been in Concentration Camps, and I was due to go out in 10 minutes. And he lay there, and tears just poured out of his eyes. And I said, are you all right? And he said, yes. And I sat him up, and he was like a little boy, and he just, tears were pouring out, not sobbing from the heart, but just pouring out. And I just held him, and I called the translator. I said, look, I can't move. There's something's happening here. And he just was staring and staring, and these lovely blue eyes, and I just held him. And after about 20 minutes, the translator came up and very simply said to him, are you all right? And he said, I just remembered I woke up in the concentration camp with a knife at my throat. And it's all right, he said. It's gone. It's gone. It's all right. And his face went pink. And we said, look, you've had quite a traumatic realization. Something's come up through Reiki. Be gentle with you. No, he said, I'm going back to work. So we rang his wife and said, look, he's had quite an enormous change. And she said, well, all right, I'll be prepared when he comes home. And he came in. He said, you've got to go and have some Reiki. It's absolutely wonderful. And it was a shift. And he now comes back for more treatments. But he said that was a shift. And it's just a huge privilege that sometimes in the 70 treatments you give in the 2 weeks, you get a huge shift. And it's a very wonderful and exciting thing to do. And other times you're just a link, another chain in that person's healing that you're passing through with Reiki.
Those are all really wise words about treatments. You are an excellent example of how the only way we can truly learn about Reiki is by experiencing it and doing it.
Yes.
And by just being a channel, really, just an empty
vessel.
You are
just a channel, yep. And to respect Reiki and give it to yourself. I remember Phyllis Furumoto said she would far rather have Reiki given by somebody who gives themselves a daily Reiki and just gives Reiki regularly to family and friends than somebody who perhaps just teaches now. She said it's the practice of Reiki on your body and others that will keep that channel flowing.
I can see here as well that you've actually given, well, not you personally, but the Healing Hands Network has given over 10,000 treatments in Sarajevo. That's amazing.
Yes, we have. Since we got really organized and people come up, we don't waste a single hour now. And it's amazing because each therapist will give approximately 70 in their 2 weeks, and there are four of us out there, so that's 280 in 2 weeks. And we do that between April and October every year.
What other places do you go to apart from Sarajevo?
Well, we have always tried to move into other places in the world, and it's a stage in which emergencies get dealt with by other charities. It is the subsequent places that perhaps need the type of therapies we're doing. And we've been invited out to Nairobi in November, and we are going out there to see if our therapies are going to help. The people out there are a charity who have seen our website and want us to use therapies out there, but only Reiki and massage, because there is an epidemic, very, very sadly, and it's a very difficult issue, this, and I have to be plain but kind in what I say. There's an epidemic in Africa of young women, and young, very young women indeed, who are being raped with the belief that this would get rid of HIV. And there is this charity in Nairobi run by the Asian community who have bought 6 beds in the hospital to help these women, and they have a 6-point program of education to help the women, to African men, to say to other African men, this is unacceptable behavior. And they want us to be one part of that 6-point program of offering our hands. So we are going out and seeing in November to see if this is appropriate, and working with the doctors in the hospital. And that's as far as we've got. We've been invited and we're starting to go out.
Okay. Do you have enough practitioners?
We have got enough practitioners for the first month, which is the trial month. Yes, we have. And we have made a sort of agreement within Healing Hands that we use Sarajevo as a sort of testing ground. If you can handle Sarajevo and everything, then anywhere else we get sent, which is pretty traumatic with Nairobi, then we would not perhaps have anybody who we had not had communication with, had not worked with other therapists to go out. Sarajevo is a place where people offer themselves and we see how they get on, and then we would encourage them, if they wanted to do more, to go to other places.
Are the people who are going to Sarajevo and come back, some of them who say, I would never do this again, and found it very traumatic?
Yes. Some do. And we always encourage, we ring people up 2 or 3 days afterwards to find out how they are. We encourage everybody to have 2 or 3 therapies if they require it. If they have any problems of anything that's residue, they should ring Sandra, our secretary, or myself, or any of us, to talk about it. But generally speaking, the therapists are mature people. They arrange their own therapy. Others say, I've done it once, that's enough. Let alone the fact you're raising the money yourself, but it's the emotion. I've done it once, that's it. So we've had lots of therapists come through. It's not everybody's cup of tea, this, and it's quite traumatic for some people, and some people can handle it better than others, let alone the fact that they've got a good pair of hands.
If people want to contact you, what is the best way of contacting your organization?
The best way to contact is to contact the secretary, Sandra Griffiths, and to say what they would like to offer, and then she would see what their qualifications were, their insurance, etc., etc., then get them to come for a meeting, which is held once a year in 3 different places in England, usually sort of the south and the middle of England and the north, and get them to meet, and then they put their names down and they go.
Yeah, okay. So the website is www.healinghandsnetwork.org.uk.
Yes, it is.
And the information will be on the actual web page of the podcast.
Yes, it will.
So if anyone's interested, then please feel free to contact Sandra. I'm sure that if you wanted to have a chat to Jan, she'd be more than happy to fill you in on anything as well.
I would be delighted to talk about and communicate in any way about Healing Hands if people want to.
Well, that's been fantastic. We've really enjoyed that, Jan. It really is an eye-opener to listen to what you've had to say and some of the statistics. It's a great challenge, and it's a great thing that people make the effort to try to see if it is something that they can do.
We are always so grateful. We've had some wonderful, wonderful therapists, men and women. Actually, more women generally than men, but, you know, men and women who come out, and they've all added their bit, and we have, I'm very proud to say, a really good reputation. And as the person who is the Union Secretary of the Civilian Victims of the War said, your treatments, this is your treatments, talking about healing hands treatments, give our members a reason for living. And that is enough for us to continue to go out there until we're no longer needed.
Thank you very much, Jen.
Pleasure.